Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this season of Epiphany where you have made known, revealed, declared your truth. Lord, as we have looked at really important parts of the faith, starting with the baptism that you experienced in the Jordan, to our baptism, to our being filled with your Holy Spirit, to our understanding of what it means to be part of the body, to give value to life, and what it means to know real love, a love that is sacrificial, a love that does not come from expecting something in return, but a love like you love. And then this wonderful celebration where you show your inside out, you show us your glory, you show us who you really are through the testimony of Peter, James, and John. Peter mentions in his letter to the churches that this was an amazing time for him. And Lord, we know that you want us to experience your presence here today so we can look back to this day and say, this is an amazing time for us. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There once was a little boy diagnosed with an illness that could not be cured, at least not from medical science. And so an organization raised money to send this little boy with all of his family, his siblings, his grandparents, his parents, to Disney on a cruise and to Universal. And for this child who had grown up hearing about Disney, watching Disney on television, hearing wonderful stories of others who had gone, always desiring, always dreaming, always hoping that someday he'd get to go on a cruise because he knew people that had gone, but he lived way up north, long, long ways. And it was amazing because he got to do things that he never dreamed of. He got to be in places that he had only briefly imagined he would ever be. He got to eat more food than he ever thought imaginable. Got to do amazing things. And the crescendo of the event was when they would gather together on the final day. And they'd put together a presentation where all the things that he had done on this trip would be presented as a movie to highlight all of the things that had happened in this dream vacation. As they're preparing to take him to the movie, to present this to him as a gift, his mother found him hiding, weeping, in the dark, and she really was confused. Just totally confused. I mean, everything that he had dreamed about, everything that he hoped for, everything that he ever wanted had just come true. And now they were going to celebrate. They were going to remember, they were going to highlight all of these wonderful things. And there he was, crying, weeping, distraught. She put her arms around him. What's the matter? And he said, I don't want this to end. don't want this to end. That little boy is not that much different than Peter. In our gospel lesson today, right? We hear about the transfiguration in Matthew 17 and in Mark's gospel and here in Luke chapter 9. And every one of those accounts, Peter, who is almost asleep, becomes fully awake and says, it's good for us to be here. Let us build some tabernacles or tents, depending on your translation. The word is actually tabernacles. Let us build some tabernacles so we can tabernacle here. We can stay here in the presence of God and the presence of Moses and the presence of Elijah, who for him were like his heroes. I mean, it's Superman, Batman, whoever you want to call. It is all of that. They are the most amazing for a young Hebrew boy. These are the heroes of the faith. You heard Ella read that there was never a prophet like Moses again. Never. Just think about that. There was never a problem. Only God knew where he was buried. God personally buried him. He was with God. He was amazing. He saw God face to face and lived. He's the one who wrote the Torah. He was the one who gave the law. And he's here with Jesus. I mean, we can understand why you'd want to stay with Jesus, because I don't know if you remember the context, and the context is, in Luke 9, is Jesus has just started to tell them about how he's going to die. Very similar to Matthew. Peter makes a confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus does exactly what he does in Luke's gospel. He tells them, you know, I'm going to be handed over, I'm going to die, I'm going to go through this stuff, there's going to be a sacrifice. And in Luke's gospel, he's nice to Peter. He doesn't do what Jesus, you know, he doesn't record what Jesus did in Matthew's gospel. What did Jesus say to Peter in Matthew's gospel when he was saying, hey, that's not going to happen to you. Get behind me. Yeah, because you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. But in Luke's gospel, he says that if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to, if you want to look back, you can look at this. It's in Luke 9. You can. He says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to believe and say what, you know, you're going to have to accept what the truth is. And if you don't want to accept it, you're not going to be able to follow me. And then he says this, just right before we see the transfiguration, he says, and I tell you, those who are standing here today will not taste death until they see the glory of the Son of Man revealed. Now, in Matthew and Mark, you're coming from a Hebrew mindset, so try to understand this. They're counting days differently. This is happening after 6 o'clock. It's happening because we know Jesus went to pray in the evening. This is happening at night, and we also know because they were tired, remember? They were falling asleep, and the Bible says they became fully awake when Jesus was transfigured. So we know that this is happening in the evening. So if you think of a Jewish person, what time does their day start? 6 p.m., and it goes all the way around to... Yeah, that's their day, 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., right? So it's a little different. What if you're Luke and you're a Gentile, a Greek, and you're writing this, and you're counting days, you count days as a Greek person counts days when the sun comes up till the sun goes down, right? That's the day. So it's a little different way of looking at things. So you got all the other texts say 6 days, but you have what? You have Luke saying it was 8 days. Because really, it happened on a day when it was still day. And, when this was said to them that the Son of Man would be revealed, and the transfiguration happens on a day when it's still day. For the Hebrew people, they've already moved on, but this is still day. So there's 8 days. There's a different rendering. But he says, and 8 days later, Jesus brought to fulfillment what he promised. He said, no, there's people here, and he takes the 3 disciples that were there when Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. He takes the 3 that have become his inner circle, James, John, and Peter. And he takes them to pray. And this is in the area we believe of Caesarea Philippi. It's in an area where he's been teaching his disciples. He's been spending time. He's been mentoring them, discipling them, huddling with them. He's been spending this time together. And so he does this, and he transfigures, and he has this wonderful. And who's the other guy that shows up? Remember Moses? I said young Peter would be so excited because, I mean, this is better than Mickey Mouse, okay? This is really exciting. This is something that's fantastic. And who else shows up? Elijah. And why is Elijah important? Prophets. He's the numero uno prophet, right? Even though Deuteronomy says there's never been a prophet, Moses is looked at as the lawgiver. He represents the fullness of the law. And Elijah to the Hebrew people represents the fullness of the prophets. Because, I mean, did anybody do stuff, even though Elisha saw Elijah being taken into heaven and therefore received a double portion, he still doesn't get as much play as Elijah. I mean, Elijah, he took on the Jezebel and, you know, I mean, he took on tremendous things. We get Mount Carmel, we get all that stuff from Elijah, right? I mean, that's just, there's a lot of stuff in there about what Elijah does. He's faithful. The Lord uses him powerfully. And then instead of dying, just like they never knew where Moses was, what happened with Elijah? Woo! Yeah. Wouldn't you love to be there? Every time Hollywood tries to mimic this, it's kind of funny. I really don't know if they'll ever quite get it. But it wasn't just that Jesus was transfigured before them and that his face shone. It says his face was changed, and it's the Greek there is kind of funny because it's like it's glowing. It's like it's hard for them to define it. And then when they get down to his clothes, it's really kind of interesting because Mark says they're whiter than anybody on earth could make them. That's his way of figuring it. But, you know, Luke, he's a good physician, and so he just says, they were white like lightning. Because at that time, this was about as white as you got, this color. Not like this. They didn't have this, you know, we have bleach, you know, we have white clothes. That wasn't it. This was about as white as it got. And so he didn't have anything else to compare it to. So he said, as dazzling white like lightning. That's the actual Greek word, like lightning. Dazzling like lightning. And so he says that Jesus transfigured before them, and you got Moses, who's the lawgiver, and you got Elijah. And, you know, I just love this. I mean, he's just like the little boy who's just had the most amazing, exciting, wonderful, dream-giving, life-giving, hope-filled. I mean, he has had the most awesome event of his life. And he says, it's good for us to be here. Let's stay here. I don't want this to end. Mark's nice because he kind of says, well, they were scared. Luke just says he didn't know what he was saying. A little bit more honest. But did he really not know what he's saying? I mean, how many of us, if we just had the most awesome experience of our life, wouldn't want to just kind of bask in it for a while? Kind of stay there. I just was at the prayer summit this week, and I always laugh because every Wednesday when we get to the end of the prayer summit, there's always the things we're going to leave and the things we're going to take with us from the summit. And people always get an opportunity to say what they would like to change. And every year someone puts up their hand, you got to love pastors, puts up their hand and says, we ought to do this for 4 days. And everybody, because we're on a mountaintop experience, say, yes, we ought to do this for 4 days. And then we all look at our calendars and go, oy. It's natural to want to stay where you're experiencing something that's awesome. It's natural to want to stay there. But the reality was that Jesus was doing this so that, and God was doing this, and this is why God had to intervene. So as soon as he says this, and as he's speaking, not even before he finishes speaking it, what does the Bible say? Just like in his baptism, but similar but different. In his baptism, it says heaven was ripped open, and the voice of God and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and the voice of God said, this is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased, right? In this particular, a cloud envelops them in a sense of totally surrounds them. And, you know, this is why I love the story of the Transfiguration, because to me, when I experience a sacrament, to me, it's very similar to that. It's like I feel God just surround me. That's why I believe the Lord gave us this mystery of his supper, this sacrament, because that's what sacrament means, right? Sacred thing, mystery. We don't know what it, you know, sacramental mystery. I mean, it just surrounds, it's just something that Jesus needed to give us so that with all of our senses, we cannot leave without experiencing him. Just like transfiguration, this is an opportunity for us to experience all of him. But in this particular case, God speaks into it, and this cloud totally surrounds them. So nobody's going to miss this. And I'm going to be saying, I just wasn't quite in it, you know? Everybody else was, but I wasn't. No, this surrounds them. And what does God say? This is my son, similar to what he said in baptism, right? This is my son, just in case you were wondering. You think they were wondering at this point? Probably not, but it was good for God to remind us. This is my son. Some texts say, my beloved. Okay? This is my beloved. This is my son. And then he says something that's really important. My set aside or chosen one. My chosen one. So if you think that what he's saying is not from me, he's my chosen one. He's not coming up with this on his own, Peter. He's not coming up with this on his own, John. He's not coming up with this because he's kind of got this morbid idea he wants to go down in history as somebody who's going to get taken out by the Romans, James. No, this is my chosen one. Listen to him. Don't just hear this. Listen to it. Means put it into practice. And it's funny because they leave that place, right? And the Bible says, it's so funny because they're going to go down, they're going to deal with a demon-possessed boy whose father begs Jesus to cast out the demon because the disciples can't. It's where we get the whole thing, you know, requires prayer and fasting, right? You know, for that. And anyways, and they're going to come down from the mountain, right? Get bit into the dirt right away, get into the fight. But it says they never said anything. And I think when you read Peter's letters and you hear what he has to say about this mountaintop experience, I think they didn't say anything because they still didn't really fully understand. They may have been fully awake, but they still really didn't fully understand what God was going to do. It wasn't until after the resurrection and after they received the Holy Spirit, when Jesus breathed on them, and then the Holy Spirit took over at Pentecost, that they really fully understood. Yes, this is what God had in mind. So don't be too hard on them. But that being said, we don't have that excuse, do we? We know the whole story. So may you bask in the glory of Christ's presence here today. May he truly be transfigured before you. May you experience, as I have, the truth of his presence, his power, and his glory here today. But let's not just say, oh, that was really nice, close the door and go home. Let's take this with us. Let's take Jesus to the nations. Let's take him to our family and friends. Let them know that he is the chosen one and that he wants everyone to listen to him. Amen. Okay.